Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Thursday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Wednesday, and we'll discuss airports and how they are here and there. Songs we used to sing at school, and basically, Rachel Smalley is an idiot, and we'll find out more evidence about why that is shortly. But before any of that, which way will Winston go today? I mean, he won't go anyway. Didn't go anyway yesterday either.
You ask a person, and they've got an opinion. Ask them what's going to happen, and they're either very determined this is what will happen. No way on the planet that's going to happen. It's got to be this. Or I'm really thinking that this is what he'll, you know, so a little less caustic, if you like, a little less determined, but still opinionated, nevertheless. Now, as it happens, I know how it's going to fall. I know exactly what's going to happen, and I could tell you now and watch it be fulfilled. But I'm not going to, because I like my secrets. I thought this morning what I should do is write it down, put it in an envelope, and have somebody stick it in a safe to be opened later. You've got one of three choices, really, although I think Hosking said at some stage that he came up with five options. I think there are three main ones. I know what's going to happen. I do. Mrs. Producer is part of the secret squirrel, but that's all. Nobody else knows. So she could verify or otherwise the correctness of what I know. I don't just think it, I know it, right? And if I'm wrong at the end, I'll lie. Then I'll go with whatever happens. But I am reasonably certain I know what's going to happen. But then so is everybody. So why don't you tell us, Leighton? No. Because I'm not going to join the herd.
Well, of course, one way we did know Winston went was to Wellington, where he just sort of stood there and abused reporters again for doing their job, which is to ask people questions about things. Anyway, Rodney Hyde, blast from the past. He has been involved in coalition talks before. What does he think of it all?
First on, Mr. Pitt, what do you see here? MMP, is it a farce? What do you see?
Oh, I don't like MMP at all. I never have. My entry to politics was actually opposing MMP. And, of course, it has a few deleterious effects. And we're seeing one of the worst right now with Mr. Peters, because the whole point of a democracy is that you go along and you vote on the day and you can vote a bad government out. And that's it. You get a result. And the government carries on. It doesn't satisfy anyone. It doesn't satisfy everyone. That's not democracy's point. But it means that the power is dispersed amongst every voter. No one gets to choose who the prime minister is. In a sense, we all do. But what MMP has done, and look, you've got to hand it to Winston Peters, there's no one more cunning. He has positioned himself brilliantly so that after the election, It's not the people voting that decides who the Prime Minister is, or whether National or Labor or the Greens will be in power. It's actually New Zealand First. And when we say New Zealand First, of course, we mean Winston Peters. And so Winston Peters is in this incredible position, unique in the democratic world, where he and he alone will decide who will be the Prime Minister for the next 3 years and which parties will be in power and which parties will be in opposition. It's all the more extraordinary because, you know, we used to complain about MMP, that an MP could lose their seat. Their own voters would kick them out and they come back in the back door on the list. That's what's happened to Mr. Peters. But having got 7.5% of the vote, he came third, a distant third, and yet he is the person calling the shots.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's definitely a problem. Oh well. Fun to watch, I suppose. Like a car crash. or an airplane crash even. Airports, this is what we were discussing with Kerry and Mark yesterday. Tanya has been to LAX recently.
Well, I thought I'd just give a call in as I am an Angelino myself, and I have to agree with everybody who has been talking about how terrible LAX is as an airport.
Oh, well, that's good. It's not just us being judgmental.
No, not at all. And just a quick story to go with that. So 14 years ago, my husband and I came here to New Zealand on a honeymoon and were treated like king and queen. They gave us a bottle of champagne on Air New Zealand. We came to the airport and greeted and congratulations and how wonderful. We go back to LA. We get in the queue for immigration. We are yelled at, get over there, get in that line. No, not that line. No, not you. You need to be over here. And I looked at my husband and I said, oh, too bad we can't just stay in New Zealand. Now, we've been fortunate enough to be able to come back and stay for a few years, and so we're very thankful about that. But yes, I have to concur. It is the most surly airport I've ever been to in my life.
Well, as somebody from LA, why do you think that is?
To be perfectly honest, I really believe the location of the airport is not in the best of neighborhoods. And as a result of that, you have more lower-income workers that are working and seeing people traveling all over the world, coming from different places. And a lot of these people who work at the airport don't have those means to do that. And so I think some of that builds up over the years. That's just been my experience of what I think it might be.
Yes, I've always said that airports should only employ rich people and not poor people, because otherwise you've just got a bunch of people who are jealous of people in their overseas travel. Sort of theory I've heard before, actually, that one. Getting some interesting stuff in the podcast today. I mean, it's always interesting with Marcus, of course.
And we've gone from film strips to overhead projectors. And with Segway, it was only once we got talking about overhead projectors, it was a very short distance to go to talking about school songs and the stupid songs they made us sing at school. And I've got a confession to make. During the news, Helen and I are talking about the songs and most of them I can remember word perfectly. The Gypsy Rover came over the hill bound for the da-dee-doo-da-dee-doo-da-dee. And I was a terrible singer, but I can remember them all. Or Hoist Up the Sloop, John B. All of them. Wow. And you've got to bless the teachers, really, because I'm sure they don't want to teach singing or swimming for that matter. So the weird songs they made you sing at school. We also spent a lot of time singing Jesus Christ Superstar too, didn't we? Try Not to Get Worried, Try Not to Turn On To. You know that one. And Marcus, hello.
Hi, Marcus. Gosh, you're bringing back a few memories. I was thinking about the John Denver song, Annie.
Flip, that's a great song. That's not one that we didn't sing that, but I just love that song.
Yeah, there was a lot of good ones in his era, because I came from the States and all those sorts of songs just made me swoon. I was right into it.
Yeah, once again, I mean, Marcus has posed more questions than he's answered really there, because he claims to remember the song's word perfectly, and yet he said Hoist Up the Sloop, John B, which is not how that song goes, of course. You don't hoist up a sloop, you hoist up the mainsails. I hate to get bogged down in the details. We did sing that at school. The Valdere, Valderar, I Love to Go on Wandering, that seemed to be a common one as well. But I've never really heard anywhere else except at school. Don't remember too many John Denver songs. I mean, I don't think you can have songs that make people swoon at school. You can't have kids swooning left, right and centre. I mean, there were certainly some that were so boring I lost consciousness. That's for damn sure. Finally, interesting story from Rachel Smalley. So, I don't know if it's connected, but a while back she broke the screen on her phone, which is despicable behaviour. But then when she went to pick it up after it had been fixed, she put it on the roof of her car and it fell off. This is like literally after she picked up the phone and broke it again straight away. So she shouldn't be allowed one of those. In fact, I'm wondering if she should be allowed a car, because apparently she locked her keys in it while it was still running. Here she is with some of the details.
So I left the car running, jumped out, nipped round to the boot, but it was locked, which was odd, I thought. And at that precise moment, I realised what I'd done. I'd hit the universal lock button as I jumped out of the car. And then I watched as the driver's door clicked shut. So there I was standing on the side of the road. My Mini was still running, but it was locked with my bag and my phone and everything inside. So what to do? Well, I needed to call my long-suffering husband and ask him if he could go home and get the spare key and bring it to me, which was a solid hour and a half to 2 hour round trip for him. I know, I'm the best wife. I'm the best wife, really. But the first problem, I didn't have a phone. So I went for a walk and the first shop I came across was a liquor store. So not ideal to be seen casually strolling into a liquor store at 10:30 in the morning, but you know, needs must. And the woman at the counter was brilliant. She was so helpful. I called my husband, told him what I'd done. I think it would be accurate to say there was quite a long pregnant pause on the phone when I told him, but he got cracking and got on his way.
Yeah, it could have gone either way. I mean, he could have got cracking and got on a plane and gone back to South Africa where he came from and never ever talked to Rachel ever again. That would have been an option as well, I reckon. I mean, I can't really criticise. I mean, I'm the guy, of course, who slipped the tractor into gear when I jumped off it one day to go and open an electric fence. And then turn around to find the tractor was rolling towards me with no driver. And it ran me over. And then I got up and electrocuted myself on the electric fence. So, you know, we all have our bad days, don't we? I am Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB for Thursday. See you back here with Friday's one. Who knows who will do the stupid things tomorrow?